Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
Our study today is entitled, One More. What's the title? One More. And this is our opening take. A long time ago, Jesus told a story of a good shepherd who had 100 sheep, and he safely led them back to the sheepfold by evening time. But in the counting, he realized that there was how many missing? One missing. One lost sheep. Jesus then told the story of a woman who had 10 silver coins. And as she was counting her coins one day, she realized that there were only 9. There was one lost coin. And on that same day that Jesus told those two stories, he wrapped up his discussion by telling one more. A father had 2 sons and a household full of workers and servants. And one son, that is the youngest, took his inheritance, left home, and wasted it and himself on, the Bible says, riotous living. And all the while, the father, what was the father doing? Waiting and watching for the one lost son to return. The shepherd, the woman, and the father searched, put the candle on a lampstand, swept the floor, watched and waited for the one sheep, for the one coin, and for the one son. They were not satisfied with 99 out of 100, or 9 out of 10, or the many in the household. They did all that they could for the one which was lost. One more. What's the title? One more was their heart's desire. And you know what I'm thinking? What I'm thinking is this, that this idea of one more is not a bad way for you and I to live and think today. Will you please bow your heads and pray with me? Our Father in heaven, Lord, we count it a privilege now in our worship to open the sacred scriptures. Lord, as we do so, we ask for your Holy Spirit to attend our time and grant us wisdom and understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So open your Bibles there to Luke chapter 15, and we wish to consider the words of Jesus. Luke chapter 15, our key verse is verse number 4. We'll have a couple of other key verses, but we'll get some of the context. We're going to start with verse number 1. So Luke 15, starting with verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes," what did the Pharisees and the scribes do when they saw that? My version says, "They murmured, saying," notice what they say, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." That's what they were bent all out of shape on. This man does what? Receives sinners. Not only that, but he sits down at the table and eats with them. And so he, that is Jesus, spake this parable, saying unto them, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? Then he told a second story. We read about it in verse number 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she what? Finds it. And then the third story, verse 11 says, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And if you were to finish reading the story, which we'll take a peek at in a couple of weeks, we would see that that young man ended up in a spot where he was eating food with pigs. And the Bible says, and when he came to his mind, he thought, you know what, I'm better off at my father's house, even if I'm only a servant. And he went back, and there was much joy and rejoicing in that home. And the very last couple of verses of the chapter says, notice verses 31 and 32 of Luke 15, and he said unto him, son, thou art with me, and all that I have is thine. That it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is what? Found. And so in these three stories in Luke chapter 15, we see the picture of the heart of God. We see the picture of the heart of Christ. And I believe this picture can be summed up with the idea of how many more? One more. God is not satisfied with 99 out of 100 sheep. What does God want? One more, all 100. He's not happy with the 9 of the 10 silver coins. What does he want? One more. And so we see this picture in Scripture as Jesus was showing the people that he communicated with the love of the Father, the principles of God's kingdom. All people came to him, including in this text, we see that certain publicans came to him. And what were the publicans in Jesus' day? They were tax collectors. And tax collectors back in the first century were as popular as the IRS is today. Publicans came to him to listen to the principles of God's kingdom. Open sinners came to him and heard of the possibilities that they had in accepting the Messiah as their Savior. And the leaders of the church, the scribes and the Pharisees, how did they respond when they saw all these people coming to Jesus? The text says, in my version, it says, they murmured against him. If you were to look up that word murmur, I think it's actually a cool word. Are you ready for it? You would find that this word that is translated murmur in my version, some verses complaining, it's the word diagoguzo. Isn't that a cool word? Now, some of you are shaking your head. No. I think it's kind of a cool word. Diagoguzo. So you know what these people were doing? These people saw Jesus and all these publicans and sinners, all groups of people coming to Jesus, listening to his teachings, listening to his counsel, listening to the principles of God's kingdom. And the church folk, the priests, the scribes, the spiritual leaders, they word on the street was they were diagoguzoing. Now, I don't think it's used that way in the Greek language, but you get the idea. The word has the idea of emphatically murmuring, emphatically complaining, and not stopping. And so that's the context of Jesus telling these three stories. The story of the lost sheep, the story of the lost coin, the story of the lost son, and how the picture is, these ones are not satisfied until they find that which is lost. Their desire is one more. That's the context. And in the context, the complaint of the spiritual leaders of the church towards Jesus and towards the crowd was, this man does two things. What does he do? He receives sinners. And secondly, then he takes time to eat with them. And what was Jesus' response to this murmuring and complaining? His response was, let me tell you a few stories. And he told the story of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And in that context, two things are connected to the idea of one more. And those two things are Jesus receives sinners and Jesus eats with sinners. And we're going to talk about those two ideas this morning. But remember, we have insight outside of God's word. We have insight in a wonderful book that is called Ministry of Healing. How many of you have ever read through that book? Wonderful. A lot of people think that that book is just about healthful living. Now, it is about healthful living, but it's really about evangelism, personal evangelism and public evangelism, and where the health message. Does God want us to be healthy and happy? Absolutely. So what a wonderful book. It's a message of how Jesus worked. And on page 143 of that book, you remember the statement. It begins, I'm not going to give the whole paragraph, but it begins this way, that Christ modeled true success to us, true success in winning souls. And it says that Christ mingled among men as one who desired their good. What did Christ do? He mingled among men desiring their good. And then it goes on a little bit more and it talks about he saw their need. And when he saw their need, what did he do? He met their need. And after he met their need, that won people's confidence. And then he bade them to do what? Follow him. But it all began. Where did it begin? It began with Jesus mingling among men desiring their good. Well, that's what the church leaders were accusing him of. He receives sinners and eats with them. Let's look at this idea that Jesus received sinners. This was and is a great fact. Our Lord received, and I would like to suggest, and still receives, amen, sinners. He permits them to be in his presence. He permits them to form a part of his congregation and to draw near to him. In Proverbs chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, the wise one says this, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wants understanding, let him eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. And so God bids the simple to come learn at his feet. Now, the moral teachers in the days of Jesus, that is, in particular, the scribes and the Pharisees were quite selective in their choice of their students and followers. They thought it to be a degradation to throw what they considered to be their useful maxims and lessons and their invaluable dogmas in their own estimations. They thought that it was a degradation to bring their wisdom to the unlearned and the sinful crowd. And so they accepted only certain ones into their circles, into their classroom. And by the way, when you read through the gospel stories, you get the picture that the only ones that they accepted were the ones who had what? The ones who were wealthy and had money. But this man, this Jesus of Nazareth, he was not picky on who came to his class. He let everybody come that wanted to. This man, this Jesus of Nazareth, received sinners. And whatever other men may do, this man, this one, speaks to how many that showed up. Speaks to them all. He shares the principles of God's kingdom, even when sinful ears are listening, and I would like to suggest, especially when sinful ears are listening. And not only that, he receives some of them to be his main and direct disciples. There were many who came casually into the crowds for the first time, and Jesus watched them. Didn't take long for Jesus to figure them out, and he gave at times gentle rebukes and words of encouraging love. And if these ones would continue to follow the crowds and to listen to him, he made sure that they were thoroughly welcomed. He made sure what? That they were thoroughly welcomed. And so the scribes and the Pharisees, what did they say about Jesus? This man receives who? Sinners. This man permits the guilty to be in his presence. This man allows the once profane, the ones who lately have been involved with debauchery and impurity. He allows all these to associate with him, to wear his name, to sit in the house wherever he is at. This man receives sinners. But Jesus did not receive sinners so that they might remain sinners. I heard one amen over here. Yeah. Let's say that again. Jesus did not receive sinners so that they would remain sinners. He received sinners for what purpose? To save them. He received sinners to lead them to acknowledge and confess their sin. He received sinners to pardon them, to justify them, and to cleanse their hearts by the power of the blood he would shed and the presence of the Holy Spirit. He received sinners to lead them on from strength to strength, to enable them to serve him and to show forth his praise in their new lives, to enjoy his love, to enjoy his fellowship, and to one day reign with him where? In glory for how long? Forever and ever. And contrary to the maxims and customs of the day, and even to the ways of the world in that day, Jesus keeps an open house for all the outcasts. He keeps what? Not a closed door, but what? An open house for all to come. When all others' doors are shut, this man's doors are open. when everyone else told sinners to go their way as if they were some unclean thing, this man stands still in the midst of the crowd, in front of church leaders, in front of political leaders, and cries out, "Come unto me, all ye that what? Labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So, yes, this man receives sinners. And he still does so today. Point number two, this man not only received sinners, but he ate with them too. Once Jesus Christ receives the sinner, he then enters into the most familiar and endearing communion with them that is possible here on planet Earth. And what is that? He feasts with them, sits down at the table with them, and enjoys a good meal. Their joys become his joys. Their work for God is his work for God. He eats with them at their tables, and they eat with him at his table. And he does this wherever he went, wherever the meal was spread. He invited all, and he ate with them. It might be a meal in an upper room, or it might be a meal at a wealthy man's dining hall. You remember one day he was coming into a small city and he looked up in a tree and there was a tax collector up in the tree, a man named Zacchaeus, climbed up in the tree so that he could see Jesus. Did what he could to put himself in the place where he could have visual contact with this man that he had heard so much about. He did what he could. He even climbed up into a tree in his nice clothes. And so Jesus looks up at that man and he says, "Zacchaeus, come on down, for today I must what? Abide at your house." Jesus had never met that man, and that man had never met Jesus. And when Jesus looked up at him and got eye contact and called him Zacchaeus, that was enough to knock Zacchaeus off his high perch. And he came down, and he immediately said that the half that he had, he was going to give to who? The poor. And if he had ever ripped anybody off, what was he going to do? Pay it back fourfold. And Jesus went to his house. So it didn't matter. Meal might have been in an upper room. It might have been in a rich man's dining room. It might have been in a wilderness place or up upon a mountain where 5,000 plus are fed with a lad's lunch. And you and I believe Jesus not only received sinners and ate with them back in those days, but I believe he has the same attitude today. And if that's his same attitude today, then that should be the attitude of his church. He still eats with us today, for he promises to be with us, even if it's where two or three are what? Gathered together in his name. And you remember the promise we stated here in this church often, the promise to the Laodicean church, if they take the counsel that Jesus offers to them, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man, what? Will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will what? Sup with him." What does that mean? That means to share a meal, to have that dining experience, to have that special time together. There is nothing which Christ will not give to sinners who accept his invitation and come to him. They shall all one day be crowned with crowns of gold. They shall all have harps of gold. They shall dwell in the many mansions that are near to God himself. There is no second rate or lower place or lower party for them. Jesus does not accept and eat with sinners to place them off in a corner somewhere. No, what does he do? He sits directly with them. He will sit with them one day around the marriage supper of the Lamb in the celestial dining hall of heaven. And if you and I want to get to that place with streets of pure and transparent gold, if you want to get to where Jesus is, he stands with open arms. What kind of arms? Open arms. Going to Jesus is like coming to an open door of mercy. Coming to Jesus is like going to an open door of forgiveness, an open door of cleansing, an open door of power. That's the way he is. And so the church folk back in his day said, yeah, he receives sinners and eats with them. And remember, in the book of Revelation, the city of God, the New Jerusalem, is seen with how many gates? 12 gates. 3 on each side. 3 on the east, 3 on the west, 3 on the north, 3 on the south. And those gates are what? Open. Yeah, they are pearls. Each gate is a pearl. You and I are going to, doesn't matter where we're from. If we're from the east side or the west side or the south side or the north side, doesn't matter where we're from, what our background is, God has his doors open for all to come to him. And one day you and I are going to be walking through a gate, and that gate will be made of a pearl. Not pearls, but what? We're going to be walking through a pearl. I can't imagine what that's going to be like, but that's what the Bible says, and I believe it. And we are told that none of those gates are shut. The text says, and I will quote it, they are not shut at all by day. I had somebody ask me one time, but what about night? You know what the text, how the text finishes? And there is no night there. So the gates then are always what? They're always open. Sending the picture, Jesus receives sinners. Some came to Christ walking. Some came to him running. Others came to him limping on crutches. And did he ever turn such ones away? No. He never turned any away because they came like that. One man came on his bed. Indeed, he did not come, but his 4 friends brought him into the presence of Jesus, couldn't get in the house, lifted him up on the roof, dug a hole in the roof, and then let this young man down directly into the presence of Jesus. And Jesus accepted the service of those 4 men. And he said to that young paralyzed man's son, your what? Your sins are forgiven you. At the conclusion of the book of Revelation, the message and the mission is clear. It says, whosoever will. What does it say? Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. If you will take, if you will, I'm going to put it this way, if you will to walk in the ways of God, if you will have Christ as your Savior and Lord, if the Holy Spirit, if the Spirit of God has given you a will towards Christ, and has he? Yes. before this day is done, if you know that you need to recommit or commit yourself to God, before this day is done, I would encourage you to come to Jesus. To have what that old preacher C.D. Brooks used to say, have that sweet little talk with Jesus that makes it right. And then let the Spirit of God speak to you. Tell God your feelings and your emotions. Let him know that even though your feelings and emotions may be out of whack, your knowledge may be limited, your work and experience may not qualify you to come to him, remember, none of our works qualify us to come to him. But if we will, what does the text say? Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For this man receives sinners and eats with them. Jesus' mode of operation, his MO, upset the spiritual leaders of the church in his day. The scribes and the Pharisees, the priests, the pastors and the conference presidents were bent out of shape. The word on the street was diagoguzo. They complained and murmured throughout the whole crowd that this man receives sinners. And what was Jesus' response? In a nutshell, he would say something like this. Now, obviously, I'm putting my take on it. What was his response? Well, finally, you got something right. And then he told the stories of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, sending the message that God is not satisfied with 99 out of 100, or 9 out of 10, or with one member of the family missing. God's desire is one more. God's desire is what? One more. There was a man named Desmond Doss. You've heard of him. You know where we're going, don't you? He was a Seventh-day Adventist medic in World War II who refused to carry arms in the midst of battle. In 1945, at the Battle of Okinawa, he rescued 75 men under heavy fire at Hacksaw Ridge. It was known as the Maeda Escarpment, a 400-foot cliff. And as the battle went on, the Allied forces charged that area, climbed up the cliff, and took the top of that area, but at some loss. And Desmond Doss would climb through that escarpment and grab someone that was injured and lower him down through sections of that 400-foot cliff. And when one was back to safety and got medical help, we're told that he took a breath, rested a moment, and then he said a prayer. Lord, help me get one more. And so he climbed up the escarpment. He'd grab another injured man, pull him to the edge, harness him up, and lower him down through the different sections of that cliff back to safety. Physically, he was spent. And he would take a breath and he prayed a prayer. What was the prayer? Lord, help me get one more. 75 men later. What an amazing story. I think that's probably just a small example of God's attitude towards humanity. And as Jesus was questioned, as Jesus was given a hard time, as church leaders, can you imagine that? Church leaders giving the Messiah a hard time and complaining and murmuring so that everybody could hear, this man receives sinners, this man eats with them. What's his response? There's a lost sheep. There's a lost coin. There's a lost son. And I have come for what purpose? To save that which is lost. Just one more. I wonder what the church would be like. I wonder what we as members would be like if we had a little bit of that attitude today. As I look around the church here today, I don't know for sure how many are here. My guess would be we have somewhere between 150 and 200 people. What would the church, what would this church be like? What would, for our visitors, what would your church be like if all the active people in the church here today, here at all, and what if every person, what if we prayed, Lord, for 2026, for this year, give me one more. Pray for one more. Encourage one more. Help one more. In 1 year, what would the sanctuary look like? I think we'd be full. And then after you get one more, then what do you pray? Give me one more. We'll talk more about that next week, of what that might look like. But Jesus is our example in all things. And a long time ago, Jesus told a story of a good shepherd who had 100 sheep, and he safely led them back to the sheepfold by eventide. And as he was counting, realized there was one missing, one lost sheep. Jesus then told the story of a woman who had 10 silver coins. And as she was counting them one day, realized that there were only 9. There was one lost coin. And on that same day that Jesus told those two stories, he wrapped it up with the story. A father had how many sons? 2 sons. And a household that was full of workers and servants. And one son, the youngest, took his inheritance, left home, wasted it, and wasted himself on riotous living. And all the while, the father watched and waited for the one lost son to return. So watch this. The shepherd, the woman, and the father searched, set the candle up on a candlestick, swept the floor, watched and waited for the one sheep, the one coin, and the one lost son. They were not satisfied with 99. They were not satisfied with 9 out of 10. They were not satisfied with a house that was full of family members and servants and workers. And they did all that they could for the one which was lost. One more. One more was their heart's desire. And you know what I'm thinking at this time? I think it's not a bad idea for you and I to think and live the same way. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the privilege that we've had to worship you this day. And Lord, we stand here at the end of our worship hour, bowing our heads, asking that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would give us your attitude of one more. And then after that, Lord, help us to understand that we are to continue for the blessing of one more. Oh, Father, keep us to these things. And Lord, we also ask your blessing upon our kids, our young people that will be meeting this afternoon, our different Pathfinder groups from around the area meeting here today. Lord, bless their time together as they focus on your word, We pray that they would know and understand that your word is always a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path. Bless them, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, and let all the church say, Amen.
You've been listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 11279 East Ottagon Street in Holland, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 10:50 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.